While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing, but at your command I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the boat to come to help them. They came and filled both boats so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him and all those with him. And likewise, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. It's a particularly a nice set of readings, especially, I think, for any priest who has felt that God has called him out of his life into a life of ministry or service. And we hear, I think, in the first reading especially, and also this gospel reading, I can only imagine what it would have been like to be alive at the time of Jesus, to hear him preach. And there must have been something just so different about the way that he preached. Matter of fact, in many places in the Bible, when Jesus spoke or taught, it would say that he did so in such a way different than the Pharisees. He taught with authority. And so you can only imagine, it must have been exciting to hear Jesus's message, but maybe in the back of a person's mind, that they hear the message of truth, but then they start to doubt. Now, who is this guy? You know, what makes him so special? How can he say these things that seem to be different or even in contradiction to what we hear the other rabbis, the scribes, the Pharisees teaching? And so you can only imagine that they're excited about the teaching, but they want it to be true. And I think this is the reason why Jesus works miracles in the Bible, is to give credibility to all that he's teaching so that the people who hear it can know that they can put their faith in his words and trust in everything that he says. And so here's this big crowd, and they're pressing in on Jesus. If you've ever been in a big crowd, you know how uncomfortable it can be. It'd be difficult for anybody to hear Jesus when they're, you know, pushing up against him, only maybe a small circle. So he puts out in a short distance from the shoreline in a boat. And so all the people are there on the shoreline, and from the boat across the water, his voice can maybe reach a lot more people. And so they're listening to him. And at the end of his teaching, he turns to Simon Peter. Now, these guys are exhausted. They've been fishing all night without any luck, right? So they're a little perturbed. They've spent all this energy and effort fishing all night, and they've caught nothing. And then it takes a lot of work to clean the net. I don't know if you ever tried to clean a net before. It's easy to get tangled. And so they spend all this time cleaning and folding their nets. And then all of a sudden, Jesus says to Peter, "Push the boat out further into deep water and lower the net for a catch." And you can just see Peter going, "Oh, Another one of these guys who doesn't know anything about fishing, telling the fisherman how to do his trade. But Peter is a gentleman, and he just heard Jesus speak very eloquently. And he puts a little protest, you know, we've been doing this all night, Lord, but at your command, I will lower the net. So, you know, we'll appease you. And to his astonishment, they have never seen so many fish before. They fill the boats. The nets are on the verge of tearing. They are waving anybody who's got a boat to come on over to help carry the weight of all this fish. And Peter is so amazed that he falls at Jesus' feet and he tells Jesus, "Depart from me." He didn't leave himself because Jesus was in his boat. He says, "But depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Is very much in line with the first reading when Isaiah has this vision and he's taken up into heaven and the train of the Lord's garment fills the temple and he sees angels and he hears them speaking these holy words over and over again, holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts. And he says, "Oh my goodness, I'm doomed. I'm in the presence of God and I am a sinful man." And at that moment, the angel comes with a coal and touches his lips and says, "Now that this has touched your lips, you have been made clean." And then the words come, "Whom shall I send?" And Isaiah says, "Send me." And Jesus stands Peter up and says, "From now on, you will be fishing for men. You will follow me and be my disciple. You will become a fisher of men." It's a beautiful story in this Bible. I've heard many priests preach on this before. And a number of years ago, maybe you've seen a commercial. Have you seen the commercial where they try to show you that something is so easy that anyone really can do it? And if you say that you can't, then it makes you a what? So he says, "It's so easy, a caveman could do it." And so if you say, "I can't do it," what does that make you? Like less than a caveman? So of course anyone could do this if a caveman could do it. And so I've heard many priests say, you know, all of us are called to be disciples of Jesus and to be fishers of men. We should be proclaiming the gospel with our lives and bringing people to the Lord. And they will say, "Jesus didn't go to the synagogues and hire people from the universities or the places of honor. He went to these fishermen. And it's so easy, a fisherman could do it." And I think that cuts maybe a little bit unfairly at the fishermen, because fishermen have many beautiful virtues that make them fantastic disciples of Jesus. And I think those virtues are needed in our world today, maybe more than ever, to be a fisher of men. To be called to bring the gospel into our culture, into our world, requires all the attributes, all the virtues that make a fisherman successful. The first one I can think of right off the top of my head is courage. To be a fisherman oftentimes requires courage. You ever watch The Most Dangerous Catch on the Discovery Channel or History Channel? And you see the dangers that are present. They didn't have GPS or satellite weather warning systems, and a storm could quickly brew up with little warning. And as it happens a couple times in the gospel, they're caught out on the lake and they think that they're going to perish. They think, "We're going to die now. The storm is so bad, this boat's going to flip over, we're all going to drown." So every time these fishermen go out, it requires a little bit of courage. Now, I like to dabble in fishing, but I don't have a fancy fishing boat. And whenever I go fishing, I almost invariably encounter a snake on the shoreline. And so fishing inherently, I think, requires a little bit of courage. And do you think it takes courage to be a disciple of Jesus in today's day and age? To preach a truth that oftentimes is not accepted by our culture, our society, requires a great deal of courage. When I think about a fisherman has to know when the right time to fish is. Peter knew that fishing at night could be beneficial. A lot of fishermen tell me they bite in the morning. You have to get up early in the morning if you want to catch something. I've gone out at high noon and caught nothing all day. But they say if you want to catch something, you got to go early in the morning or right as the sun is setting at dusk. And so to be a good fisherman, you have to have a good sense of timing. And I think it's true with a disciple too. When we're sharing the gospel with somebody, we have to look for the right opportunity, the right time to say something, to speak, and then to have the courage to actually do it. And so having the right timing, I think, can be essential in bringing somebody to the Lord. A fisherman also has oftentimes a tackle box. Some have bigger than others, but the tackle box is full of all kinds of lure and baits. You know, they got a little jar, there was like stinky cheese stuff in there that smelled horrible. And you say, what's that for? That's for the catfish. Well, can you use that to catch a bass? No, they won't bite that. If you want to catch a bass, you got to use this rubber worm. And you got to know how to dangle it properly in front of the fish so that it sees it and knows that, oh, it looks like it's a real worm. Or one of those things that jiggle and rattle at the same time. And so fishermen have many lures. And I think it is also with a disciple, we have to have proper approaches. We treat people differently if we're speaking to a child about the Lord, as opposed to speaking to somebody who's dying in the hospital, or somebody in prison, or whatever the case may be. We have a different approach. And so it's good for us to have lots of books on our shelves. Maybe you have Chesterton or C.S. Lewis or Patrick Madrid or Scott Hahn or all these different tools to say, you know what, you're dealing with this? Here, listen to this or read that. We have all these different approaches. And so it's important in fishing. It's important also being a disciple. A fisherman also is patient. He'll sit there for hours. You know, sometimes people will say, oh, I hate fishing because you just sit there and do nothing half the day. Well, it requires patience. Being a good disciple oftentimes requires patience. And then there's also persistence. You may fail over and over again, but the good fisherman knows that one day he's going to catch that fish. And so we too are called to be persistent. And so when we look at how Jesus called these fishermen, we can look at those virtues and say, these are the virtues that I should work on myself so that I can be a good fisher of men. Many of us are so busy in our lives that maybe we don't have a lot of time to give or to devote into a ministry so that maybe we're out there fishing for men, bringing people to the Lord. One of my friends, Father Chauncey Winkler, he's a convert from the Lutheran Church, he told me that the job of a good pastor is to find people who have a lot of money and find people who have a lot of time and not a lot of money and bring the two of them together and say, you've got a lot of money, you can support this person in a ministry, and bring those together. And this is what happens when we work on the Charity Development Appeal, the CDA. If you haven't guessed, this is CDA weekend. And Bishop is going to invite you to join in over 70 ministries that are happening throughout the diocese, ways that we are trying to bring souls to Christ or bring the love and mercy of Christ through the church, through these ministries, to all these different people. And so we may not have time to do all of these things, but all of us can contribute to the CDA and be participants in that ministry. And so I want to invite you to be a fisher of men, to support these ministries. This is a restricted gift, and so gift that you give to the CDA can only go to use for those ministries specified in the ask. And so without further ado, my little helpers will set up the screen and you will see Bishop invite you to participate in the CDA for this year. All dioceses have a CDA of one shape or form. When I used to be in the Diocese of Raleigh, North Carolina, it was called the BAA, the Bishop's Annual Appeal. In our diocese, I think it's more properly named Charities and Development Appeal, because the monies go to develop programs or priests as well as different charities. A friend of mine, he's Vietnamese and he's a priest now too, He loves to go fishing. He told me one time, it's always funner to go fishing with Jesus, because if you catch them, he'll clean them. Mm-hmm.
For nearly 50 years, the Charity and Development Appeal has been giving help and hope to people across our diocese. I'd like to introduce you to some wonderful people whose lives have been transformed thanks to the generous support many of you have provided to the CDA.
Your gifts to the CDA made it possible for Father Wynn to set aside financial concerns and attend seminary. He is now living his vocation as a priest in service to the Lord and his parish community. This year, the diocese is blessed with 40 men in formation to become priests. Henry was a homeless veteran who got back on his feet with the assistance of Catholic Charities Manna House, a CDA-supported facility for veterans. Now, Henry works as a peer support specialist, helping other homeless veterans find shelter, peace, and purpose. Last year, Catholic Charities assisted nearly 1,500 vets throughout the diocese. After serving 10 years in prison, Dominica found faith in God, a good job, and fulfillment as a productive member of her community. She credits the hand-in-hand prison ministry program and the counseling she received from her mentor, Marina. Hand-in-hand pairs inmates scheduled for release with mentors who help them encounter Christ and prepare to find jobs, complete school, reconnect with family, and build confidence in themselves and their future. Emmanuel received a scholarship through the CDA to attend St. Matthew, a unique dual-language Catholic school. St. Matthew provides a powerful foundation for Emmanuel to know his worth as a child of God and to achieve his goals in life through a strong Catholic education and second language proficiency. Overwhelmed by a pregnancy, Laura had decided on abortion when someone offered her hope and suggested help from Life Choices Women's Clinic. She received a free ultrasound and upon hearing her baby's heartbeat, was filled with love for her child. They helped her with healthcare, counseling, and the resources she needed to finish her nursing degree. Today, Laura is a joyful mother, a caring nurse, and an advocate who helps other young moms navigate difficult circumstances.
These are just a few of the thousands of people uplifted by your gift to the Charity and Development Appeal. Through more than 70 charitable agencies, apostolates, and ministries, the CDA provides housing, education, counseling, and comfort to those in need. Today more than ever, we are called to love one another and to serve our Lord Jesus together as a community. Through your actions, you can be an instrument of God's love. Be part of His love that gives hope and make your gift to the CDA today. Thank you, and may God bless you.
Not bad video, huh? So, if those of you sitting at the end of the pew, if you find the envelopes, if you could pass them out, we'll have a short opportunity to fill them out for those who are prepared or able to give a gift today. There's going to be two collections. The first collection will be only CDA. The second collection will be the normal parish collection. I should say thank you to all of you who have contributed to the CDA in the past, because when I was a seminarian, the CDA supported me through the cost of education for a priest, the seminary. It's a graduate level work, and it's kind of expensive to have a person study at the seminary to become a priest. And it's your generosity in the past that helped me to make it through the seminary. So thank you for that and for your continued support to our young guys. They mentioned Father Nguyen, but all the seminarians, every one of them, are receiving support through the CDA to pay for their education. As they said in the video, we have just over 30 vocations in the process, and this, for our diocese, is way and beyond what many other dioceses are experiencing. So God's really blessing us with those vocations. I hope that you don't look at this as a burden or, oh my goodness, we got the CDA again, but rather as an opportunity to be charitable. Pope John Paul II really changed my heart on this. Years ago, I listened to a set of tapes that tell you how long ago they were. They were tapes, not CDs. And John Paul II said that when homeless people or people meet us in the street and ask us for money, we oftentimes may be filled with contempt and say, oh no, not again, you know, get out of my way. He said, rather than be angry at them, we should be thankful because they're creating the opportunity for charity to exist, and that charity covers a multitude of sin. So I hope that you look at this as an opportunity to be partners in ministry with all these ministries that the diocese supports, but also an opportunity for that charity to exist. There's a number of ways you can make the gift. You can fill out the card and put something in the envelope today, in which case you put the total pledge amount for the whole year, and then how much is in the envelope today, even if it's zero, and then the remaining balance and how often you want them to send you a reminder. If you rather, like me, put it on your credit card and have them take something out every month, that way you can give a bigger gift, then you have to do that online. And if you take home one of these things, you can see the website, and then there's simple to follow instructions for your credit card, and then they will charge it every month. Thank you again for your generosity. When it comes time for the collection, there'll be two collections. The first one will be just to collect the CDA, and then the second one will be the normal parish collection. So don't put everything in the CDA and forget to support the parish one. And if I don't make my goal, they might send me to Baghdad. So please, Baghdad, Arizona, so please be generous. No, I'm just kidding. They won't move me even if I don't make it.